Shel Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Shel.
Hi.
Well, the mayfly hatch can help or hinder angling efforts, depending upon which fish you're fishing for. So let's talk about mayflies.
Wonderful element of our early summer to midsummer experience, and another great example of just the fecundity and, you know, lush life of the summer here. And also a great example of those phenomena that are so common in summer that are very ephemeral, you know, like here today, gone tomorrow. That's definitely part of the mayfly story. Maybe we'll start out by just clarifying that it's kind of a misnomer, mayfly, at least for sure in Minnesota it is, but because they're not flies, technically speaking. They have four wings, so they're not flies. All true flies have just two wings, and they also don't typically show up in any great numbers in May. This is more of a June, July kind of phenomena. Whatever time it takes place, it is a magical thing to be involved, you know, kind of be there, be part of it. And I happen to have just a really unique experience myself this just recently, the last week in June, when I happened to find myself right in the middle of this amazing phenomena of when the adult mayflies emerge. And, but to start with, most of their lives they live in are aquatic habitats. They can be streams or lakes or ponds as aquatic invertebrates. They're small, generally, you know, no more than an inch or an inch and a half long, and some very tiny as in their aquatic life stages. And they, you know, live in the bottom, and they have chewing mouth parts, and they eat little bits of plant material, different kinds of organic material. So they're very nondescript, not something that you know would jump out at you and isn't paying any attention to what we're doing, but a very important part of the benthic, so deeper water, you know, bottom of the water portion of the food web in our lake and stream ecosystems, important food for lots of things, even as their immature selves. And at that stage, they're called either nymphs, so they're part of that same big group of ancient insects that dragonflies and damselflies are part of. And so they're nymphs. More particularly the immature aquatic stage of mayflies are called naiads, and that's where they spend most of the year. So the eggs that were laid last summer in the water have been developing through many growth phases underwater in the bottom. And then in summer, they feel compelled to come to the surface of the water. And if it's nice still water, like on a lake or pond, they can do their transformation there. Or if they're in a stream, they may have to move out onto a rock or a plant, you know, at the edge of the water. But they feel compelled, also like dragonflies and damselflies, to come out because they're going to now become flyers. So they come to the surface or get out, and they do this amazing transformation. I mean, I've seen the evidence of it or watched, you know, individual insects do this, and it never ceases to just blow me away, because they go from one completely, you know, unique way of living to something completely different in a matter of moments, especially in the case of mayflies. I mean, it's just a matter of several minutes at the most that they go from this aquatic swimming thing with plate-like gills along the side of its body and to this just amazingly delicate and beautiful, fragile winged entity. And they emerge. And in the case of mayflies, they are very unique in that they are the only insect that actually has two phases of life as a winged insect. So most insects, only the adults, the ready to reproduce individuals, have wings. In the mayflies, the first thing to emerge is a pre-adult or a sub-imago. I just love this word, imago, right? I want to be an imago. Don't call me an adult. Call me an imago. I think that is just the greatest word. And they start out as sub-imagos, and that's what first is transformed from that aquatic into this winged sub-imago. And then that individual at that stage moves to a safe location, you know, flies off the surface of the water and over to the shore or into the edge of the woods. And then again, it transformed into the true adult, the imago. which then goes immediately, once it's ready to fly, into this very frenzied phase of mating, create big swarms and do their mating. And then the females will go along the surface of the water, whatever the stream or pond or lake, and just touch their abdomens to the surface like dragonflies and damselflies do, and to lay their eggs. And a few species, they will actually submerge themselves and lay their eggs. And as soon as they've laid their eggs, or in the case of the males, as soon as they've done their mating, they're done. And the adults have no feeding mouth parts. They're only alive to do this mating and laying of eggs, and they live a night or two at most.
When they make this transformation, are we talking about like the movie Transformers 2, where they just change, or do they shuck off some kind of shell like a dragonfly does?
The latter. Just as you said, they are going to leave the skin behind of what they looked like. So one of the most common evidence that we might see at this time of year of this happening, if we haven't seen all the parts of it, is to see the surface of the water, or maybe up at the edge of a shore, you know, in the morning or at the afternoon, and see these big piles, you know, or big, you know, slicks, sort of these very fragile little skins that have been left behind. It's difficult to pick them up because they're so fragile once they're saturated. Some species in particular have very synchronized periods of emergence into the adult form, and they're in huge numbers. And they've even been picked up by Doppler radar, you know, even along the Mississippi River and, of course, Lake Erie and places like that. So they, in certain situations, they can become what some would say was a nuisance. We don't ever deal with that really here. They're just one of the most beautiful but ephemeral aspects of our summer here, well worth enjoying.
Jill Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand mayflies.
Very well.